623, 1320 WILS. So the Michigan Department of Education, we touched on it yesterday, but they're not going to pursue this effort to assign schools an A through F grading-based system. Chris Wygent with us, Executive Director of the Michigan Association of School Administrators. Chris, thanks for joining us on WILS.
Yeah, good evening. Thanks for the opportunity. Greatly appreciate it.
I mean, they said they were looking for public comment, and that led to this decision to walk away from this. Do you believe yourself that parents don't want an A through F system to judge schools by?
You know, I think what parents want is something that they can look at to help them choose where their son or daughter should go to school. And I think parents also know that just looking at one grade for an overall school might not give them the whole picture. They might be interested in how many students attend career tech opportunities, or what's the graduation rate, or how many students go on to post-secondary?
Yeah, but they could get that as additional information. What's the problem with having an overall grade, then, you know, fill it in with more information as needed?
We just think it's too much of a snapshot and doesn't reflect really what's going on in the school.
Well, what would that do to schools? I mean, if you have the system in place, would that somehow hurt the schools?
Well, it depends on how things fall. If the school is high in proficiency, but low in growth, and they get a low grade for that, that can be misleading to people.
Okay. So if we don't have a grade, what are we expecting parents to do in trying to, you know, relatively quickly evaluate a school?
We would want to have an easy-to-read dashboard that I, as a parent, click on and look at areas where I can get a quick report on how the school's doing, kind of focus in on what might be a specialty area for my son or daughter that I'm really interested in, so that I can get a quick read on if that school is strong in that area and other areas.
So would that include some evaluation of all these different categories of a school?
Yeah, that's correct. There are some required categories, proficiency, growth on assessments, those types of things. Mm-hmm. Then we could also add some other things that we hear from parents that they might want to see.
Okay, so we're talking, what, would we get percentages and numbers, or would we get, could we have a letter grade on proficiency and growth?
You know, we need to develop this, and we need to continue to include stakeholders in on this so that we put together something that's relevant. Mm-hmm. It's not finalized yet, but we're really looking at trying to embrace the philosophy of a dashboard.
Okay. Whose idea was it to put an A through F system in place to begin with?
Well, it was first recommended by Superintendent Whiston, and then he listened to feedback from, you know, many, many throughout this ESSA process. And he then included the dashboard as an option. Then a couple of days indicated that if nothing was changed by the legislature or the governor, that the dashboard would be the default option for the plan.
Okay. Now, it's been reported that groups representing public school employees were very much opposed to it. How much do you think their opinions affected this decision?
My goodness, I couldn't tell you. There's been so much input on this, I don't know what moved the needle and what didn't.
Right.
But I do know that at least MBE has listened to feedback from it seems like everyone on the ESSA plan.
Okay. So right now, for parents to evaluate a school right now, what do they have to work with at the moment?
Well, they can go on their district's website, and they can look at the annual report that's on there that provides some pretty good information. But it's not consistent. And if I'm a parent and I want to take a look at three different schools or three different school districts, I'd really like to be able to have consistent dashboards side by side so that I could take a look.
How do you feel we're doing right now in terms of where we're moving Michigan's public education system? Where are we at the moment?
We're in a state of flux right now. We've got the Every Child Succeeds Act that we're getting ready to submit a plan for. We've got top 10 in 10. We've got the new report from the governor's commission. Mm-hmm. We've got legislators who want to get rid of the Common Core. We can't agree on A to F or dashboard. I'd say we're in a state of flux right now. And it's distracting from what the teachers are doing in the classroom.
Mm-hmm. And so who's going to lead the way forward?
Well, I think we all need to lead the way forward. And I think we need to figure out how to reach consensus on things like the dashboard and the A through F, and really start to move forward as a state. And I'm hoping that the governor's commission report that came out on Friday, along with top 10 and 10, I hope that everyone can get together and that we can move forward. The children deserve it, and so do the taxpayers.
Right. I mean, I guess the main concern are the failing schools. Do you think we're addressing those adequately right now?
you know, I think that the initial plan of just closing them down was flawed and wouldn't get us anywhere. I think that would create more problems. I like the fact that the Michigan Department of Education and the governor and the school reform office has embraced this partnership plan. We finally start to notice that it takes more than just the school district to help these schools. We need human service agencies. We need other active partners. And I think collectively we stand a lot better chance than just giving up on a school.
Okay. And then how big of a window do you think we should give a failing school to turn itself around?
Well, you know, we're getting a late start with many of them. I think the appropriate research shows three years at a minimum to turn it around. Partnership plan requires a report after 18 months, which I think that kind of benchmarking is really important. We don't want to let non-progress go on for a long time. But we also have to be a little bit patient and know that we're not going to fix it overnight. That's not how the problem was brought forward. But on the other hand, we need to move forward with aggressiveness. And I think the partnership model does that, actually.
Ultimately, if a school continues to fail, is closure a reasonable step to take?
You know, I think after we've included the community, included the parents, included partners, if we still can't move in that direction, then we need to look at other options. And closure might be one of those options, unfortunately.
It's Chris Wygent, Executive Director of the Michigan Association of School Administrators, right here on 1320 WILS. Chris, thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity.
6:29. When we come back, the author of the new book, Blitzed, will be here, Drugs and the Third Reich. He grew up in West Germany, and he took 5 years researching this topic. It's something that's been looked at previously, but no one's looked at it the way he has and gotten some of the material he got a hold of. 5 years looking through archives in Germany, and he found some startling information, not only about drug use by Nazi soldiers, but specifically by Hitler himself, and just the incredible amount of drugs he was consuming on a daily basis. We'll talk about that, and the doctor that was injecting him with the drugs, how this happened, and what effect it had on the war itself, World War II. Did it extend it? Did it make it much worse than it would have been without all these drugs? We'll ask Norman Oler next, right here on WILS.
Fox News Radio.